Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Episodio 20. 20 episodes, Reza. Hello.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
I'm fine. How's it going?
Very well indeed. 20 episodes.
Whoa. We're doing well. We have, as usual, some feedback from you, our listeners. And the first one is from Julio Serrano from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And Julio says, "Dear editors," that's us, I suppose,
okay.
Dear editors, "I'm glad to find so much interesting information and podcasts from La Mención del Inglés. Since I got your website, I asked for the monthly editions that you kindly make. They are all very important, but most important is the thing that you are teaching English worldwide." So thank you,
that's
Julio.
True.
That's a lovely comment. And our second comment in Spanish is from Carme. And this comment comes from our formulario de contacto en la página inglespodcast.com. Hay un formulario ahí y puedes mandarnos tus pensamientos y preguntas. Felicidades, dice Carme. Felicidades por vuestro trabajo. Me ayuda mucho a aprender esta lengua. Escucho vuestros podcasts con atención y quería preguntar si sería posible que adjuntarais la transcripción escrita de los podcasts. Creo que me ayudaría mucho más. Pues mira, Carmen, no tengo tanto tiempo libre para escribir toda la transcripción. Ponemos show notes, notas de episodios, que a lo mejor ayudaré con ejemplos. Y siempre revisa Reza y me dice, oye, Craig, tienes que escribir un poquito más porque no hay bastantes comments. Entonces intento escribir lo que puedo y estoy investigando la posibilidad de poner software para hacer la transcripción. Pero lo que he encontrado hasta ahora no va bien. So we're trying, estamos intentando, we're trying to put as much information as possible in the show notes. Please be patient and understand that our time is limited and we cannot, unfortunately, at the moment, transcribe y poner todas las palabras que decimos. Reza, what do you have for us in the sección gramática this episode?
We have a pause. Okay. We have a pause.
A pause.
Nothing, Craig. Come on.
Nothing?
You don't expect me to give you nothing, do you?
Okay.
Question tags.
Question tags.
You love question tags, don't you?
Etiqueta. Yes, I do. Etiquetas.
De preguntas. No. Tag. Didn't we mention in the last episode? Tag. No, we didn't. We talked about etiqueta, label.
It was a price tag.
Price tag,
price,
yeah.
Tags.
Etiqueta de precio, that's right. Etiqueta de precio, yes. This is another type of tag, listeners. This is a grammatical tag. A tag can be something you have added on.
Mm-hmm.
So, a question tag is like a little question you have added on to a sentence. So, let me give an example. Craig.
Yes.
You were born in Essex, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Now, did you notice the way I asked Craig that question? I could have said, "Were you born in Essex?" But I didn't. I said it this way. Craig, you were born in Essex, weren't you? Weren't you? At the end is the question tag. It's a little added bit.
So you're repeating the auxiliary verb, because the auxiliary verb is were.
Yep.
You were born in Belfast, weren't you? So I'm repeating the auxiliary verb.
That's right. But if the auxiliary verb is positive, you repeat the negative version. And if the auxiliary verb is negative, you repeat the positive version. For example, Craig, you don't speak Italian, do you?
No, I don't. No.
Me neither, by the way. So I said, Craig, you don't speak Italian. Don't is negative. But I'm asking him, so the question tag then is positive. You don't speak Italian, do you? Don't, then do. So if one is positive, the other is negative. If the first is negative, the other's positive.
For example, you haven't been to Disneyland, have you?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Ah, damn it, listeners. He beat me to it. I had it written on my notes.
Esto se
I had it written on my notes. I wanted to ask Craig, but he asked me first.
Esto se llama en inglés a preemptive strike.
He got me first. He got me first. Ah.
Never mind.
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Disneyland. Craig.
So, one second. Yeah. When would we use these question tags? For example, I'm almost sure you weren't born in Dublin. Mm-hmm. So I just want to confirm.
Exactly.
I want to confirm my suspicions. Confirmar lo que pienso, pero no, porque no estoy 100% seguro. So I'd say, you weren't born in Dublin, were you?
No, I wasn't. You're right.
You were born in Belfast, weren't you? Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm confirming my suspicions.
Yes, that's the main use of a question tag. Instead of just asking a question, where were you born? You think I was born in Belfast. You don't think I was born in Dublin. But just to check it, mm-hmm. maybe you're not 100% sure. That is when you'll probably use a question tag. So it can be positive or it can be negative. For example, imagine Craig is fairly sure that I like fish, but he's not 100%. So he says, Reza, you like fish, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of the sentence is positive, you like fish. And then the question tag is negative, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to confirm that, yes, I do. But imagine Craig thinks that I don't like raw eggs, and he's right. So he says, you don't like raw eggs, do you? He's right. I don't like raw eggs. He just wanted to check.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to confirm, to check, confirm your suspicions, as you say, something like that.
For example, you don't like the Fyaz Festival, do you?
Actually, Craig, there are things I like about it.
Ah,
and things
so I was
don't
wrong.
Like.
I was wrong.
You were partly wrong, partly right. I don't like the loud, random bangs in the street. But I do like the fireworks displays and the mascletà. That's the special display in the middle of the day. You better check that up in Google. There's no other way to explain mascletà. So you did well to use a question tag because you weren't quite sure. And in fact, you were only half right. So using a question tag was the best way to ask me that question.
But yep. you like Christmas, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yep. Mm-hmm. So he's confirming things. Another use of the question tag, I would say, is to express surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, for example, I saw a pair of pink trousers in a shop window, and Craig was beside me looking at this pair of pink trousers, and I said to Craig, they're interesting, the pink trousers, they're interesting. And Craig might say to me, you don't like them, do you? You don't like them, do you? Do you is the question tag at the end, because he's really surprised if I like them. I said they're interesting, and he's worried that I like them. He thinks it's not typical of me, it's out of character. So to express surprise is another good use of a question tag.
Okay, I can think of another use. I think sometimes when you want to open a conversation, empezar a hablar con alguien, you could use a question tag with slightly different intonation. For example, it's a nice day, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Or you're going on holiday next week, aren't you? So it could be used to open a conversation as well as confirming facts.
Yes. And it's a very polite way to do it because you offer the other person the chance of saying that you're wrong, mm-hmm. which is very polite. So you do not look presumptuous. You don't look as if, oh, I know what I'm saying, because the other person could say, no, you're wrong. So you don't look big-headed. You look very modest.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it that way.
Exactly.
But Craig, let's practice a little bit more, just so the listeners get the idea of repeating the appropriate auxiliary verb.
Yeah, it's difficult, but, isn't it?
Yes. And but changing negative, positive, negative.
Okay.
Craig, you love Mickey Mouse, don't you?
Yes, I do.
But you haven't been to Disneyland, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, and as you asked me, you got me first. You got me first. I haven't been either. You got me in the preemptive strike.
But you're planning to go, aren't you?
No, I'm not, actually. No, I'm not. Thank you very much. Craig, you're going to visit your parents at Easter, aren't you?
Yes, I am. For a couple of days. Mm. And you're going to Belfast, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going for all of Easter, are you?
That's right. Craig, you'll have a light dinner tonight, won't you?
Yes, I will. I'm on a diet, so yeah. I'm having many light dinners.
That's what I thought. Now, what about this one? Craig, let's have a cup of tea, shall we?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Ooh, shall we?
There we go. That's my ace. Let's, listeners, that's a funny old word.
So how does, so explain that, please, Reza.
Okay. This is very common. When you say let's do something,
making a suggestion,
you often add a question tag, because as I said earlier, the question tag offers the listener the chance to say yes, okay, or no, I don't want to do that. So it's a very polite way. So, the question tag with let's is shall. Shall. Everything else is fairly logical. You like blah, 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 don't you? Mm-hmm. You didn't do blah, 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 did you? You will do blah, 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 won't you? You aren't going blah, 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 are you? But let us, what are we going to do with that? You use the auxiliary shall.
I see.
And let's is short for let us. So, we use the pronoun we. Let's have a cup of tea, shall we?
Ooh, that's difficult for learners, I would think.
But they should learn it because it's common.
Yes.
It's very common.
For making suggestions.
Particularly in British English. I'm not sure if it's so common in American English. This let blah blah blah, shall we? Americans probably don't use that much, but British people do use that a lot.
Yes, they do. And I've noticed something which connects to our last episode where we were speaking about me too, me neither, neither will I, etc. When there's no auxiliary verb in the question tag, you would use do, does, or did.
Yep. Whatever is the auxiliary verb for that tense. So you enjoy your food.
Don't
enjoy,
you?
Don't you? Because present simple.
Don't do and don't.
Had it been negative, it's more obvious if it's negative because I've already put in an auxiliary. If I say, you don't eat late at night, do you? That's easy because if you've heard don't, you already know the auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite of don't is do. But if it's affirmative, where there's no auxiliary in the present simple, it's a bit harder because you've got to think, what is the auxiliary? You enjoy, okay, enjoy. Present simple, okay, present simple, do. It's a bit more complicated.
So, for example, your mum enjoys cooking, doesn't she?
Indeed, she does.
Yeah. Yep. Moving on. Vocabulary corner. Cooking verbs. I'd like to speak a little about verbs we use in cooking, because you like cooking, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Have you cooked anything nice lately? I know you like cooking and then maybe freezing. For example, you'd cook something nice and you'd make a lot of it and then keep it for the following week. So have you cooked anything recently that you want to speak about?
Yes, I have cooked one of my favorite homemade dishes that I make myself, my chicken soup. I'm quite proud of it. I think it's quite good.
Okay, so chicken soup, I would guess that you boiled.
That's right.
Which in Spanish is hervir. So mm-hmm. One verb connected to cooking is to boil. Similar to boil is to simmer. S-I-M-M-E-R. Which in my dictionary says cocer a fuego lento, estofar. So okay. How would you explain the difference between boil and simmer?
Yeah, well, I think your Spanish definition was good. In English, perhaps the best way would be to say that to boil is at a high temperature. Mm-hmm. The flame or the heat is intense. Whereas to simmer is the same, but the heat is not intense. It's a low flame. You're cooking it more slowly. But in both cases, in water or liquid.
Right. Yeah. Or caldo, which in English is stock. Yeah. Cooking stock. Did you make a stock for your soup, your chicken soup?
I make the stock completely naturally from the bones of the chicken.
Really? You don't buy the stock in the supermarket?
No. Listeners, there's no avicrem creme in my soup. There's no avicrem creme. There's no stock. It's only from the bones. 100% natural and free-range chicken. That's pollo campero, pollo ecológico. Oh, yeah.
So it's the real meat and potatoes in your soup.
Yeah, that's it. The old meat and potatoes.
Another verb, cocinar al vapor.
To steam.
To steam. One thing I do like is steamed vegetables. To steam my vegetables.
Me too.
Al diente. Not too soft.
I think it's the healthiest way to cook vegetables, isn't it?
I think so. As long as you don't over steam them or overcook them, because there's nothing worse than limp, soft, vegetables.
I've heard that steaming is much healthier than boiling, because when you boil vegetables in water, a lot of the goodness from the vegetable ends up in the water, and then you throw away the water.
Exactly.
You're throwing away the goodness.
You're throwing away the vitamins.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
But if you steam them, all the goodness stays in the vegetable.
Which is what you want.
Much healthier.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain, where's the difference between to cut, to chop, and to slice?
With difficulty, but I think I can. I would say that cut is the most general word.
Yeah.
There are many ways you can cut things. It just means you take a knife or something sharp and you divide something into pieces.
Cortar.
Cortar. But to chop, I would say, is a little bit more specific. Mm-hmm. To chop implies that you're cutting something specifically into small pieces. You understand that the pieces will not be big, they will be small. That is chop.
Exactly.
To slice, well, the slices could be big or they could be small, but the word slice implies that they will be thin, not too thick. So chop could be like a cube or a rectangular kind of a shape, but slice implies that it will be a long shape, much longer than it is wider. That's a slice. So, for example, you slice cake, you slice a piece of pie. You can slice meat as well, whereas you might chop vegetables for soup, type of thing.
According to my dictionary, we have cortar, to cut, and to chop, as you described very well indeed, trocear, picar. Uh-huh. And to slice, cortar en lonchas, or rabanadas.
Yeah.
Slice bread, rabanadas de pan.
Yeah. And a slice is what you get when you slice, una rabanada.
A slice of cake, a slice of bread.
Uh-huh. However, we say to chop, but a chop is something different. Isn't it? A chop is very specific.
Yes.
What's a chop?
It's, it's not costilla. Costilla is ribs. Chop is chuleta.
Uh-huh. So it's a specific
lamb chops.
Meat. Yeah.
Chuletas de cordero.
Yeah. Or pork chops.
Or pork chops.
Uh-huh. So it's something specific. Whereas a slice can be any material.
Just one point with the pronunciation of cut, because it's often mispronounced by Spanish speakers who say cut. It's not cut, it's cut. You have to abrir la boca, open the mouth, the same sound as up, cut. Cut the meat, cut the chicken. One more verb to throw into the mix, which is another cooking verb, to mix, especially if you make cakes, mezclar, to mix the ingredients. But another cutting verb is to dice. To dice the meat or to dice the vegetables. Cortar en daditos. To dice.
Yeah.
And finally, one more, calentar, which you probably know means to heat. So to heat is the verb and hot is the adjective.
Yes, that's very confusing vocabulary for Spanish people, because heat is also a noun.
Mm-hmm.
You should avoid the heat of the midday sun, unless you're a mad Englishman, of course. Because they say that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
That's right.
But Spanish people know that you should avoid such heat. So heat can be a noun or a verb. For example, the soup is ready. Take it off the heat. Take it away from the hot place, the heat.
And if you want to have your soup, it's a good idea to heat it up. So the phrasal verb to heat up is also calentar, heat up. Heat up the food or heat up the soup in the microwave.
And very often you reheat things.
Yeah.
Reheat. You heat them again because they've gone cold or because they're from the day before. And to cook it quickly, you just reheat it.
Have you noticed that in your... Do you agree that Spanish people here don't like their food as hot as British people?
Yes, I do. I've noticed that.
I like my food hot.
Me too.
And very often here that it's not cold, but it's not really hot. It's warm.
Yeah.
Warm food. I don't like that.
It bothers me in winter. Because in winter, when it's cold, I like my food to be hot. It doesn't bother me so much in summer because, you know, it's already, the atmosphere is already warm, so I don't care
right.
if my food's that warm. But in winter, I don't like cold food.
Me neither. Moving on. Reza, phrasal verbs.
Well, let's see what your memory's like. Do you remember from the last episode, how would I say in Spanish, try on?
Probarse.
That's right.
To try on clothes.
Yep. We had that from the last episode, remember?
Mm-hmm.
What about, Craig, and if you can answer this, well done. The difference between write and write down.
Ooh.
Ooh, I've got you there. I've put you on the spot, haven't I?
I think, and this is a guess, I'm not sure. I think write down has the idea of writing quickly or a short note. It's like, write down my phone number, write down a message. But write could be extensive writing or long writing. Like to write a letter to a friend would be a longer piece of writing. I don't know if you agree with that.
That sounds like a good definition to me. And I might just add that also write down has the implication of immediacy. You're yes. writing it now.
Let me write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I might say to you, if you're my student, your homework is to write an essay.
Yeah.
We've prepared it. Now go home and do it.
You wouldn't say write down an essay.
No, because it's not immediate. It's not now. I don't really care when you do it as long as you do it before the deadline. But it doesn't have to be now. For me, that's kind of an important difference as well.
And there are many other phrasal verbs you could use for as synonyms to write down. Jot down, note down, etc.
What about jot down? What type of writing is...
Again, notes, down? Very quick, a quick phone step. Number, perhaps, a quick note. Jot down my address, jot down my email address.
Uh-huh.
Let me jot it down.
Mm-hmm. And a place where you might jot down, so few of my Spanish students ever seem to know this word, in a jotter.
I've never heard of that word before.
Okay, right. Really?
A jotter? What's a jotter?
Oh, right. Maybe this is an Irish thing. No, okay, I shouldn't be surprised with my students. For me, I've always grown up with the word jotter as a synonym for notebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard that before.
Maybe that's an Irish thing.
Yeah.
Maybe in England it's not so common. Okay, I should be more understanding of my students then.
Mm-hmm.
But I've grown up with the word jotter as meaning notebook. You jot things down mm-hmm. in a jotter.
Never heard of jotter. Jot down, yes, but not a jotter as a noun.
Craig, you know what I'm going to do as soon as this podcast is over?
Apologize to your students.
Possibly after having looked in a dictionary to see if jotter is there or not.
We will check it and I will maybe put a note in the show notes.
Another phrase of verb, which is very common every day. In fact, I think you mentioned it in the last podcast. Does anybody remember take back? Take back clothes you're not happy with?
Right, example? Take back to the shop. Devolver.
Mm-hmm. But there's another meaning of take back, which is nothing to do with clothes. Imagine I said to Craig, "Oh, Craig, you're looking a little bit fat. Have you put on weight?" And he says, no, I haven't. Take that back. Take that back. He means, I don't like that comment. Say sorry. I wish you hadn't said it. Take that back.
Retract.
And I'd say, okay, I'm sorry. I take it back. You don't look fat at all. I take it back. I'm sorry. Forget I even said it.
Yeah.
That's also take back.
I take it back. I'm sorry.
Give up, Craig. Now, it's getting near Easter. Lent has started.
What's Lent?
Quaresma in Spanish. The 40 days before Easter Day, when people often give up things. They give up meat, traditionally. They give up alcohol, smoking. Craig, are you tempted to give up chocolate for Lent?
Let's not go over the top. Let's be sensible about this. I've given up smoking. I've given up drinking alcohol. I really don't think I'll ever give up chocolate. It's one of my luxuries.
You'll never give it up, listeners. Nunca lo dejará. Dejar. He can't give it up.
I can't give it up.
Craig, another couple of phrasal verbs.
Mm-hmm.
What might you cut down?
You could cut down a tree. Cut down a bush. How do you say bush in Spanish? I used to
arbusto.
Know that. Arbusto? Yeah. A bush. Cut down a bush if it's growing too high.
Yeah.
You could cut down on something, which is Rudolfir. Cut down on smoking, but that's an extra preposition. Cut down on drinking.
So cut down a tree, for example. You cut it and you make it fall and it's destroyed. That's it. You cut it down. Talar. But to cut down on chocolate. Now, Craig, I'm not saying give up chocolate. Not give up. But maybe cut down on, just reduce the quantity. For Lent is a possibility. Cut down on, reduce. Craig, do you enjoy washing up?
I don't hate it. I don't mind it. I wouldn't say, I think enjoy is too strong of a word. It's okay. I don't mind washing up.
So washing up means what?
Washing up, fregar, hacer las... limpiar los platos y
fregar. Platos.
Yeah.
Washing up, not to be confused with to do the washing is clothes. To do the washing up is dishes.
So then we change from a verb to a noun. To wash up is the verb, and to do the washing up, so it collocates with do. So we use do with washing up.
Exactly. Craig, have you thought of taking up any new hobbies?
I've thought of taking up cycling, to lose some weight.
You used to cycle quite a lot, didn't you?
Until someone stole my bicycle.
Ah.
And now I have no bike. But if I bought a new bike, maybe I would take up cycling again. Are you thinking of taking up anything?
Maybe a musical instrument, but I haven't decided what yet. Possibly the guitar.
Really?
I've always wanted to be able to play the guitar, so who knows, I might take up the guitar.
So take up, empezar, dedicarse.
Sí, take up. The opposite of give up. If you give up, you stop doing something. Take up, you start doing something.
I always wanted to take up the drums. Bateria.
That's tricky, though, living in a block of flats, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not fair to my neighbours.
Yeah, exactly. One more phrasal verb, put off.
Posponer.
That's it, posponer. Are there things in life which you often put off?
Oh, yes.
Like what, for example?
I often put off going to the gym. I often put off working, if I can find a good excuse.
Me too.
I sometimes, unfortunately, I put off being in contact with friends who live overseas. I don't like... doing that, but sometimes I put off writing emails, I put off making phone calls when I should.
So put off, postpone. Postpone. Which one's more formal, put off or postpone?
Usually phrasal verbs are more informal than the full verbo principal. So in the case of put off, I would say put off is more informal, and postpone, which is posponer, is more formal.
Well, you know what, Craig? I'm really enjoying this episode of the podcast, but I think our time is up. I've been putting off saying goodbye.
Yes.
But I'm afraid the time has come.
The time has come, so we're going to say goodbye and put off our English podcast until the next episode. Thank you for listening. And remember to send us an email or a sound file if you have a microphone at home. And send us a comment or a question to craig@inglespodcast.com or to Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. And we'll have these two email addresses in the show notes. Thank you for listening and see you next episode.
See ya.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org.